the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and the podcast title you just heard in the intro, boom. Here I go acknowledging that there's an intro, and I'm trying to be better about that and not repeat everything you just heard. Welcome, one and all. Little secret, the podcasting technology, I actually did an intro. I was a minute and 10 seconds in before I just pulled the plug, and I was like, what's going on there? And I would have lost you. I would have lost everybody. I mean, people who've been listening from day one, just done. Pause, and then just throw away the iPhone. That's just in protest. Not only are we going to stop the episode, I'm going to destroy the device upon which it was playing upon. Welcome to everybody, one and all. If you're just joining me, help you. You need help because I don't know what drew you here. To those of you who've been with me before, you know what's going on. To the new folks, you're going to see what's going on. And it's the attempt is to have fun. Is that crazy? Is it crazy to have fun in life, in your life? Do you think that we should be ashamed of trying to enjoy our jobs? You ever heard somebody like, well, they, you know, love their job and so they shouldn't make much money. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no musician who's super successful should make money because they love what they do. So therefore, flawed logic, you guys. We are kids deep down, and sometimes that's a negative in terms of how successful we are in the modern world. Sometimes that means we can dig our heels in and resist change. But then there's another part of us that are children that is a love of all things fun and joyous and games and enjoyment and family and, you know, all these kinds of things. Okay? Listen to this. You hear that? That's a slightly out of tune tenor ukulele. I switched over to that for my small step. You thought that I wasn't doing it anymore? I still am every week, every week. If you're just joining me, I have my own small steps that I will, from time to time, talk about and talk about some, not others, and bring them back around and everything else, because it's an evolution and a practice, just like I hope that it is for all of you here. But mine is that I wanted to bring back music into my life. I used to be a full-time musician and actor, but really more time on the music, and hadn't really done it for a few years. Embarrassingly, it feels embarrassing to state that. I wanted to get it back into my life, and so I built in a small step, which is that I do the podcast every Monday on the dot with little exception. And so I put my music next to the literal table and microphone where I do my podcast. So I know I'm going there, and there it is. And almost like I have a memory problem, which I probably do, virtually almost every week I walk in and go, oh yeah, yeah, my music step, like every week. So I'm kind of just in this place where I go, oh yeah, the case, that's there. So anyway, long story short, we had family over for Thanksgiving, and they were staying in the area, the little studio where I do my podcast. And so I cleared some things away, moved my guitar out, and there was my ukulele. And I was like, damn, you know what I'm doing? Playing the ukulele for a while, missing that instrument. So I left that here, and it's there. And that's what you heard. You want to hear it again? That's fine. The top string is a little off. Let's see if you can catch it. That's that one right there. I'm sorry about that, you guys. If anybody is cringing, then you're probably a music teacher. This episode, big surprise, you guys, brought to you by the Mendocino Coast. 50kmendocinoultra.com. I think I have almost 20 signups. That's pretty good. I wanted to keep it small, and I'm capping it at 100. So this early out, I think it's cool. If I get 50, I'll be, if I get stay at 20, I'm super happy. Okay. I want it to be a small little ragtag race, especially the first year. And that's what it's shaping up to be. I got some good sponsors for the race. Ultima Replenisher and Fuel 100 and Mendocino Brewing Company. Good night, Johnny. They got some really good micro brews. They're going to pitch in on the race, and especially at the end of the race party, which is very, very cool. And also Mama Chia. And of course, the Stanford Inn, where I head up their wellness center and visit Mendocino County. And Catch a Canoe, which is the Stanford Inn's canoe bike shop, you know, as it were. So cool, it's shaping up, it's a real race. I'm digging that, getting some really good feedback from people and looking at the website, MendocinoUltra.com. If you are into ultra running, I urge you to check it out and maybe come on board, give us a shot. I kept the registration on the low end. And if you want to just come out, if you're especially in the Bay Area and you want to come up and help volunteer, because I will need volunteers, that would be humongo. So just email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, or you can email me through the MendocinoUltra.com website, director@MendocinoUltra.com. And that goes to me as well. What else? You know this. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava. Got some, like, still new followers. I mean, I'm king of Strava. I'm really not. I'm small change. But you know what, guys? There is no small change. It's all relative. It's only small change in relation to, boom, little hint, little teaser, little spoiler alert on this episode. Anyway, you can find me. You can Google Sid Garza Hillman too. But SidGarzaHillman.com is my website. And you can find all things about me there. And you can, do that whole deal, find out about my practice, everything else. But on said website, you can also find Approaching the Natural merchandise and the edition, just had a sale the other day, of custom signed books. And if any of you have checked that out and you went and you tried to go through and you saw the shipping was nuts, it's because I had done it wrong. So my wife, who knows things about, what are they called? Oh yeah, computers, went in and fixed it. So if that was your, if you had any, you know, issues around that, you can also always email me and I'll, anyway, it's fine. So that's all fixed, but you custom signed book. You just order the book. I'll shoot you an email. You send me back what you want me to write and I'll write it. Okay. How cool is that? That's good, right? That's a good Christmas / Hanukkah / every other holiday that occurs around this time of year-ish-ishness. Real quick on the Stanford Inn retreats, there's a March, June, October running retreat with me and Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete. If you want to join in on that, go to stanfordinn.com, or of course you can email me for info. There's 15% off the March one. So if that's floats your boat, it's going to be super fun. Two runs a day, 8 runs in a period of just no time at all, and 4 days, if you could do the math on that. And so that's pretty cool. So I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving, at least people in the United States. And I think Canada has a Thanksgiving, and I think they're thankful for being attached to the United States. I don't know for sure, but I think that's where they're at on that, is they go, God, it's so great. We're so thankful to share a border with the United States. Thanksgiving from us. But I did post a video. My family came up. We posted a video. Well, no, I shot a video and posted a video of my family, but also the meal that my wife and I made, mostly my wife, as you'll see. But it was just for fun. And the message there, which my wife thinks I didn't fully communicate in the video, is that there is a time to feast. And that was a feast. And even in that context, we did pretty well on the health front. But, kept things in line with us. And part of the me, not me of us is that we do feast. You know, we let go. We also dial back sometimes, and we keep it all swirling pretty close to the center there so that we don't swing too wide at any given time. More on that in a second, because I had a little dial back day weirdness. And so I wanted to talk about that in a moment. But I will be in Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd. healthfest.com, and I'm about to book flights on that, and a rental car, told you, going to Shreveport, good night, and also in Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Veg Fest, August 6th through the 7th, told Jeff Stanford, I was like, yeah, I got invited to speak there, and he was like, yeah, okay, and I was like, oh, okay, good, so I'm going, and I'm really excited about that. If I know I've got some people in the UK, and I know the UK is not like a little teeny town of 700, I mean, I know for a fact the UK has got more than 700 people in it. I don't know how many more, but I know there's more, probably 7,000. There's probably 7,000 people in the UK, 1,000 of which, royal family. But I'll be there. So if you can make the trek over to Edinburgh, you can come say hi. That would be cool. I'm all the way over there and you could come say hi to me. Is that the least you could do? Literally, least you could do. Before I move on, this is not a sponsorship, and she doesn't even know I'm talking about this, so she's going to be, she'll be fine, I hope. But I got a buddy named Linda Lang, and I've talked about her before on the podcast. She's the real deal. She has a cookbook out, and I've been remiss because I wanted to talk about it, but it's out, and I think it's been out for maybe a few weeks or even a few months, so apologies, and she did not ask me to do this, and I'm not making any dough off this at all. This is simply a plug because she's awesome. And deserves anything that she gets success-wise. Anyway, so if you are, it's a Kindle, it's super well priced. It's a great cookbook. She's just great. And she puts a lot of just care into what she does. And I appreciate that about her. So anyway, the name of the book is Linda. That's with an L-Y. She's sort of like, boom, she's very, very new age, like not new age in a bad way, but she's like postmodern with the name L-Y-N-D-A. Boom. Linda's Healing Kitchen, Life Lessons, Love, and Recipes. That's on Amazon.com. If I'm marketing savvy, I will put a link in the show notes to this episode, but better yet, because I'll probably forget from the time that it takes me to get from my studio to my house, which is 12 feet away, go to Amazon.com and just search on Linda, L-Y-N-D-A. Her last name is Lang, L-A-Y, and she has two Y's. Boom, two L's and two Y's. Linda Lang, L-A-Y-N-G, and you can search on her or the cookbook title, Linda's Healing Kitchen, Life Lessons, Love, and Recipes, and it'll come right up. Get it, okay? Jiminy Christmas. Again, I ain't making money on it, but I'll bet you that if you guys order it, she'll probably make me some cookies. Okay, into the dial back day, and there'll be really good cookies and probably well photographed. Dial back day. So you know that I've kind of been in this new incarnation of my dial back day, which is not 100% fruit. And this is just how it's ended up. It's not, hasn't been like a master plan. On December 4th, I shall transition to only fruit during the day and then a salad at night. But my desserts have been the thing. And so what I decided this week is because I've been desserting up, and I'll tell you about that in a second, because my wife finally had to say something. But more on that in a second. So I've been kind of, so this week I'm dialed back in today. Okay. I already did fruit all day. I had to do a little food tasting at the Stanford Inn. I help kind of oversee the kitchen with the owner. It's not my main job, which is the wellness center, but I sort of oversee. So if there's like new dishes in the works, I will often join in and taste them. And that's what I did today. And so, but kept it at bay, kind of almost felt like the floodgates were about to open, but I was like, okay, cool. Just tasting. But I didn't want to do dessert. And so I'm doing salad when I come back in and, big freaking salad, some quinoa throwing that on there and no dessert. And I'm also not doing dessert probably all week, like through Thursday. And here's why, that peanut butter thing is becoming a problem. And if you're just joining me and you think, gosh, Sid has trouble, it's called being a freaking human. And this is the thing. I really want to be clear about this because I've said it 1,000 times. So if you're just joining me, this will be 1,001. I got my own practice. I'm going through the same stuff. Do I think I figured out a pretty darn good way to manage all the stuff of the craziness of the modern world? Yes, I do. I think it's good. And that's how I've been able to manage being as healthy as I am, having a flat stomach at 47 years old, rarely if ever getting sick, except for the thing on my chin right now. More on that in a second. God, it pisses me off. But all in all, got a ton of energy, ran 2 ultras this year. I mean, this isn't me, saying how great things are for me, but they're pretty darn good. I'm doing okay. Does that mean I don't have struggles because I'm doing okay? Of course not. Of course not. The opposite. I've got struggles. I just think that I've managed a pretty decent way to engage with those struggles in a way that allows me to succeed in the modern world. And I've talked about success, and what I mean by success is what I literally think is success, which has virtually nothing to do with finances, or maybe a teeny little bit. I mean, maybe that's an expression of success in some way, but that ain't for me. That's nothing, because I see people worried about money and thinking about money and successful monetarily, and it ain't delivering. My point is this. I've got the same struggles. I deal with the same stuff. That's partly why I even came to my approach, why I wrote my book, all these kinds of things, because I can fully relate. I'm not standing outside of the circle and going, you should do this and you should do that and you should do that. It's like, no, this happens. So the dessert thing, this peanut butter, chocolate chip, coconut magnificence, and it is magnificence. And am I a genius for concocting it? Yes. Look, I'm not going to pull punches on that. I'm still a genius. I'm just saying I got to regulate my genius just a little bit because my genius can get the best of me. And then I'm marketing it. I'm putting it in a jar, making billions of dollars. I'm driving a gold-plated minivan, and I don't even know your guys' names anymore. I'm that big. And that is, by the way, a master plan. I've been going a little nutty nut on that. And there's no pun intended because it has peanut nut nutty nut nutness in it. Last night I had, we went to this like festival lights things at the garden down the street and came back. Of course, they didn't let us in. We were late. Came back and had some lemon cookies and some coconut eggnog, which was phenomenal. And then the kids went to bed. And then I proceeded to have two more batches of the peanut butter chocolate chip stuff. Okay. A little bingy, right? Yes. And my wife even remarked today, she's like, yeah, you were kind of like, that was out. And here's what was going through my mind. This is like the dial back day misfire. Ready? In my mind last night, I was thinking, I'm dialing back tomorrow. I should get this in. That's the absurdity of what happened last night. I will couch that in a bigger picture in just a moment, but bear with me for a second. I was eating more, didn't want it, eating more because I thought I'm dialing back tomorrow, therefore I better get this under the wire. That ain't me, you guys. That ain't me. So I'm not doing dessert till Thursday. It's not a punishment. I don't feel good waking up like that, knowing that I had that last night. And I want to feel really good this week, and I want to dial back the dessert thing something fierce. And I'm ready for it. I have no problems with it. I'm ready for it. That's where my focus is set. My sights are set on the dessert. That's my thing right now. Okay? That's my thing. Your thing may be something else. Your thing may be donuts that somebody brings into work and whatever that you go, damn it, I wish I didn't do that. That's the stuff. And by the way, 4 days is maybe way too much, and probably 3 months ago it would have been for me, but I'm okay with it. I'm giving it a shot, and I am dialing back, and it's a tweak, and nobody's the wiser for it. Nobody's going to know anything. That's the beauty of the small steps, is it's not a diet. It's not a cleanse. It's not a craziness that you have to jump in. It's a little tweaky tweak, okay? A little tweaky tweak, okay? Doing okay. I'm doing all right, you guys. But I noticed that in my brain last night, and I was like, oh, that's a good thing to think about, not Sid. I call my not me, not Sid. Speaking of Sid, another good run. Boy, I'm running some of the course. We did about a seven miler, and we were both dragging ass. It was not, but it was like so beautiful to be out there and great, but we were both just not in the energy mode. And so that's how it goes. But you can still manage a freaking awesome run through that. And that's a long run. It's a lot of hills. It's about over 1,000 feet of elevation. So it's a lot, and it takes it. It's a lot. And so my energy is fine the whole day, but here's what else is through the roof. Appetite. And I can, like when I do a run like that, I feel starving all day. Like I'm really hungry. I could totally tell. Usually that's not enough for me to go off the charts in terms of the things like peanut butter and chocolate chips. I eat. I'm not afraid to eat. I know that I got to fuel my body to help it recover. I get all that and I keep it in the heavy box realm. But here's what I wanted to talk about this is like the additional part of the puzzle over the last couple weeks. I have been very tired, and I have not talked about sleep that much in this podcast. It is as much a part of living healthy and happy in the modern world as almost anything else, if not anything else. I mean, if you think about it, like we sleep and eat more than we do anything else, or at least we should. I have not been getting a lot of sleep, and here's why. I have been taking a class online in this new editing program. I felt like I had outgrown the editing program that I've been using for my videos, and it was just, I'm coming up against some frustration there, and it just wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. And so I took on something else, and there's this long video. It's long. I've been doing it for a couple weeks. And so I just do small step, and right? I'm doing a little bit every day. But I've been staying up at night. So it's like after my wife even goes to bed, I kind of hop on there and do some more. And I've been getting to bed later than usual. And typically, I'm kind of okay with it. I've been feeling it. And the last few days, I've been feeling it. And it occurs to me when I'm this tired, and I've also been working hard and just the holidays and just the whole thing. And, you know, when I was building the horse fence, like I haven't gotten a lot of breaks, real breaks in the last few months. So it just occurs to me when I'm in the context of food and the holidays and dial back days, how crucial it is when you feel well-rested or the opposite, not. How vulnerable you are, how easy it is, and this is how I look at it, how much easier it is to slip into the not me. It makes sense. The not me of you, the stuff that is, and it's actually not even the not me, I'll put it this way, it's easier to fall into habits. It's easier to fall into or to just maintain, remember last week's episode, high maintenance. It's much easier to fall into what we're used to doing when we're tired and fatigued. It's very, very difficult to overcome or change habits in the context of fatigue and sleeplessness, okay? So oftentimes we try to do the big stuff like diets or quick fixes or cleanses when we're just simply not equipped to do them on the best days. They're too much for us. But when we're tired and we're working hard and we have families, it's exhausting. And yet another reason to small step, and yet another reason why I believe it is appropriate for me to dial back in the way that I'm doing now, which is not the fruit all day because I don't want the struggle there. I'm having a big salad. It's incredibly healthy. I'm eating plenty, but I'm not doing dessert. Why? Because I want to remove the regret. I want to remove the just, I wish I hadn't done that, which is exactly what I woke up this morning feeling. That has no business in my life. It's not me. I'm not the guy who thinks I wish I hadn't done that. Okay? Now, oftentimes I do, but I'm not that guy. And so I'm taking steps to be more me, which is good. Feel like I did that. Okay. Okay? Now, I'm probably going to go back to fruit only at some point. I just don't know when, but it's work. I'll tell you when. When I realize it's time to do that, because I'm paying attention to my life, so I'm going to be more aware of the tipping point, which I was going to actually talk about tipping point next week a little bit, but there is a tipping point for all of us, and that is that there's a point at which we go, okay, enough, and this is where I've come to over the last couple of days. I'm like, I'm freaking tired, and no video course in the world is worth me not feeling well. And I went on a run this morning and took it real easy and loved it. It was fantastic, but I know better than to go on a run and try to push it on a day like this. Did that 4 years ago and rupture my Achilles tendon. That's how tired. So this morning I was just taking it easy. Okay. It is incredibly powerful, not to overuse that term, but getting rest. And is that easier said than done in the modern world? You bet your ass. And so it's a yet another thing to small step into. It is, you know, cutting down reading or watching television late at night. It is trying to eat a little earlier so that your food is digested and that allows you to sleep a little better because things have settled. It is lowering caffeine that you might be doing later on in the evening or something like that. These are things that, or just being paying attention to the clock. Here's what I did yesterday, because you know, I've talked about this before, is I asked my wife. I said two things. Would you mind just helping me not do dessert? And I'm helping her with stuff too, just so you know. It's not like, the emperor has spoken. I require your services. What country that emperor is from, I have literally no idea. Probably the country of Edinburgh. But I asked her, I said, if you could help me know on the dessert, and also I got to get to bed early. So what happens is usually the kids go to sleep and I feel like I'm tired. But if I push through just a little bit longer, I could just go till 1 a.m, 2 a.m, no problem. I don't usually go to bed at midnight, but that's too late for me. I just know, given when we wake up in the morning with the fam, with the kids and everything, it's too late. I'm exhausted in the morning. And so what do? I make adjustments. I don't make sweeping changes. I make adjustments. So this week, hitting it a little early, ask my wife, hey, we should probably go to bed, don't let me stay up. It's, you know, I might feel motivated to, but I don't want to pay for it. Okay. So all I need from her is a little, remember you told me you wanted to get to bed early. That's enough to click me into awareness. Just a little, the switch goes off. I'm back in the game and I go, yeah, I'm tempted to stay up, but I gotta get this rolling. Okay. And that's how you do in your life. That's the small steppers way. You go, okay, I know the future here. I know that if I push through and stay up late, I'm going to be miserable tomorrow. It doesn't feel like that right now. I can't feel it in my body because I feel wide awake at 11 o'clock, but I know I'm going to pay for it tomorrow. Sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes that's worth it if I really have a lot of work to do, but another day or two delay on my video course, it's fine. Ain't going to kill me. That's the assessment there. That's the assessment. It's not militancy. It's not me looking at a book, 21 days to better sleep and following that no matter what it says on day 4. I got a life to live. I want to fit these things into my life the best way that I can. Okay, so my rash. Boom! Is that the great segue? Great segue, right? So my rash, that's the title of this episode. It's really not. Do you guys want to talk about my rash? You want to hear about my rash? To those of you who just fell off the treadmill, my apologies. The rash is nowhere of concern except for on my chin. So I want to sort of take that off the table. There is a case of impetigo, which if you don't know is sort of like a, it's, well, it's not sort of, it's a bacterial thing. Two types of bacteria on the chin. It's a skin thing. It's super popular. And I don't mean in a Taylor Swift way, among kids. So there's a breakout, a rash of it. Hello. In my kid's school. So of course my daughter gets it from another kid. We don't know it's impetigo. She's got a few bumps. Her immune system's like clicking like clockwork. She's got a few bumps. We don't even notice it, just like a few little red bumps, like no big deal. I kissing her because she's my freaking daughter. Love her. She's freaking cute. Telling me? Really. So then I get a couple little bumps on my chin. I still don't make the connection. I go, oh, I don't know what the hell's going on here. I haven't showered in 9 weeks. I've been fine, but that could be that. I'm like, okay, what's that? And I literally haven't showered in 9 weeks. But you guys know that. Go listen to the No Meat Athlete podcast because I just beat that dead horse. And so anyway, so I get a couple little dots. But no problem, management, fine, not going anywhere until I shave with my electric razor 4 days ago. And as I'm shaving, I'm like, wow, that's kind of feels like it's irritating. And boy, good night, Johnny. I've got a red, if I should Instagram if I were brave, but I just don't want to Instagram this. Why? Because it goes down into history. I've got like a red splotch on my chin. It's not, I don't look, my wife would not kiss me when I came in the house today. I'll just put, it's that bad. And I was like, I am not an animal. I am a man, you know. I was like, I didn't know that this was the tipping point, again, tipping points of our marriage, that you just draw the line. But I just can't blame her. And anyway, so I think it's a red splotch. It's like kind of scale. It's gross. It's gross. Look, you wouldn't walk by me and go, my God, you like walk to the other side of the street, but it's there. And it pisses me off because it's just annoying and I don't like that. And so I'm putting like, of course, I don't want to go to the doctor for antibiotics because you know how I feel about bacteria. But I'm putting, you know, some stuff on it, like an ointment with golden seal and silver and what else. And it seems to be okay. I've got a little aloe vera juice going on to try to get on top of that. Why do I mention my rash? Why do I mention my rash? And thank the heavens that this is not a video vlog and it's more of a podcast, audio than video. You know what I'm saying? The reason is because I believe that it is part of the whole fatigue of me. Over the last month, I believe that obviously a bacterial thing is an immune system issue. Of course, the razor exacerbated it like something fierce. But up until that time, I think it had just been fully managed, and it wasn't, the little bumps were like not spreading. It was fine, and it was, I wouldn't have even worried about it. Probably would have gone away. I've been tired, and I need to be attentive to myself in that way because it is taking a toll on my health. Not in a huge way. I'm not sick. It's fine. I got this little rash on my chin. Not the end of the world, but enough for me to get the message from my body. I talked about last week, listening to your body. Well, this is my body talking. This is my body going, this is getting on top of me. I'm not getting on top of this. And I don't care how much I'm craving my peanut butter and, you know, dark chocolate coconut thing, because I must need, I don't know, you know, I must need fat. You know, and so I'm not going to listen to it in that way. But I'm listening to a little rash on my chin that won't go away for 4 days. It's getting a little better. But it's of concern to me because I don't want that stuff breaking out. It's not typical for me and enough for a red flag on me. Okay? Have I talked about that to the ground? Sure. Bigger picture, you guys. Okay? Listen to your life. Listen, pay attention to these things. I want to, if nothing else, in my life, I want to be of a level of attention. I want to manifest a level of attention such that I notice these things before they're too late. I want to get to be, and I'm getting better at getting to a point in my life where I know before it's too late that my relationship with my wife needs, you know, something. If that happens, hasn't yet, knock on wood, but if it did, then I would want to know before it's too late. I don't want to be turned off. I want to be open to things. I don't want to compartmentalize. I want my awareness to be such that if I'm gaining weight before it's gotten to the point of craziness, I'm there and I'm engaged. And I'm like, look, I want to dial this back. I mean, this is what's happening with my dessert thing. Is it's not a problem to anybody looking at me like, you should eat dessert every night. Yes, but I know. And I don't feel good doing it. I physically don't feel, it's not a mental thing. It's not like, I wish I hadn't done that. It's like, I don't feel good. My energy level, it doesn't feel like it does when I do a fruit only day. It feels way down. I can tell. And guess who else can? All you all. All of you can tell when you're sort of just not quite there. That's for me, and that's what's going on, and I need to address it. I need to address it. The message for you guys has always been and always will be, I want to teach you how to address it for you. I don't want to be the guru who you go, what should I do about this? You know, I just want to get you to the point where you see it. That's it. Done. Got it? Okay, good. Don't make me look. I'm too tired. I could really get angry right now. I'm so tired. I'm so fatigued. But I really am. Scott Weiland died. Do you guys know who Scott Weiland is? I did, only because I'm of that generation. He was in the Stone Temple Pilots. I was never a fan of that band. Not knocking it, just not my bag. More of a Nirvana, less of a Pearl Jam, by far. And definitely not a Stone Temple Pilot. However, he died. And I quickly looked it up because I was like, wait a second. And I had a bad feeling, and I did, which is that he's my age, essentially. He's just about a year, a year and 2 months older than I am. Obviously, this is not about me, but it is, because it's my podcast. And I wanted to relate this, which is, I don't know Scott Weiland. I feel horrible for his family and stuff, but I'm not connected to him, so it doesn't really, there's worse things going on in the world. I hate to be frank about that. But 48 years old, dies of a heart attack. The point about it is, of course, you know, he lived way more Western times than I did, even when I was playing music, and he's been doing it his whole life. I know what kind of life that is, as I did it a little bit, and doing it full time, man, not appealing to me. But he's 48 years old, and this just, it sinks in to me when I see this kind of thing happening for people my age, and this isn't the first time, but it makes me thankful that I am taking care of myself the best that I am right now. And I am also thankful that I am of a place where, at least now more than ever before, not as great as I'd like to be, but more than ever before, I am aware enough to know when I need to pull the plug on some stuff and to dial back in other ways, not diet-wise, like sleep, like dialing back my video series on editing so that I can get some more rest. And so that's the message there. It sinks in. It's close to home for me when a 48-year-old man dies of a heart attack. I don't think of myself as 40. I'll be 47 in a couple weeks. And I still don't think of myself nearly that age in physical or mental terms. But it, you know, the stress of life is the stress of life, and I'm trying to manage it the best I can. But like I said, I'm not stress-free. Never have been. And the stress can take its toll. I've got genetic dispositions like everybody else. I don't know what's going on, but I do want to listen to myself to know when I'm fatigued enough that I got to dial things back, or I want to know myself enough to know my energy levels are low so I can dial back in the food. But remember, like I've mentioned before, the dial back day hashtag isn't just about food. You can dial back in a whole bunch of different ways. So in a sense, this week I'm dialing back on the sleep issue in terms of bringing in more sleep, and I'm dialing back on the dessert. That's where I am on this week. Boom. Thanks for joining me. Good night, Johnny. So I wanted to talk about real quick before I launch into the episode title subject. I often talk about the power of language, and I've talked about this before, especially when I do speaking engagements. I'll talk about things around language in that way. I do think it's powerful, obviously, because it is how we communicate, except for not our bodies, but you know, more on that last episode. But I was thinking about the use of language and the use of when we are under stress. When we are overwhelmed, and the subtleness of overwhelm, I mean, the subtlety of overwhelm is not a fixed amount. I mean, overwhelm can be relative, obviously. Overwhelm can be, especially if you're tired and fatigued, you can be overwhelmed by very, very little, right? And then if you're yourself and you're kind of in, you're rested and you're kind of at your ground good place, you know, it takes a lot more to overwhelm you. But in the context of overwhelm, in the context of too much coming at us, in the context of you know, multitasking gone awry, where we're juggling too many things, oftentimes the statement that we'll make is something like, can you just give me a moment to think, or I just need a second, just give me 1 second. In the context of craziness, in the context of becoming bombarded by people talking at you all at once and a lot of things going on, and you know, this happens in life, and it can happen in work for a lot of people depending on your job and whatever, oftentimes we'll be like, wait, just stop for 1 second, just let me focus for 1 second. We use the time language, moment, second, give me a minute. Can I just have a minute? Because we are, I think, at our depth, a animal in the modern world, a natural being in an unnatural world, I think at our depth, we are searching for moments. I think that the reason why I feel so strongly about my approach and when I talk about stealing moments is because I think it lays completely in line with who we are, each of us. And I think if there's similarities among all human beings, because I know there are, I think that's one of them. I think we do better when we have moments, when we can take, I'll put it this way, we focus, we get to who we are in those moments. If we do it enough, we can be who we are even when we're not fully focused, if those things become habits. Like, in other words, if we can steal moments enough to do something, if we can steal moments enough to put something healthy on our plate, no matter what else we're eating for dinner, but we start with that step, eventually it can become just without thinking, we just eat healthy food without thinking. I mean, that's what I do in the morning with my fruit smoothie. I just do it. I don't make a decision about it. It's done. It's dialed in. But until that time, we need the moments. And when we say to somebody, can I just give me a second? Just give me a second. And we can be a lot less irritable than I'm sounding right now. We could be like, hey, you know what? Just give me a second. I'll be with you in a second. I'll be with you in a second. But for me, I'm just like, can you give me a freaking second? I always say freaking, give me a freaking second. I don't really. But I could, and I have, when I need it that badly. But the point that I wanted you to look at and be aware of is the use of time in our language and how that does sort of reveal that thing in us that wants some time now and then. And even in the moment, even in the craziness, we need that moment to what? To just get our thoughts straight. I mean, that's what we're asking for. We say, can you give me a second? Because then you can't focus until you have that second. Isn't that very telling, right? We need to say to the world sometimes, give me a freaking second, will you? Give me a freaking second. Essentially, my small steps approach is that. It is that. I've talked about it. I have 116 episodes. Do the math. I've probably talked on it 80%, 81. Hold on, let me do a little calculation. 81.4% of the time I've talked about stealing moments and in their relation to small steps and how small steps can be those moments if they're crafted correctly, because those are it's how the size of the step is how it fits in your life in a way that doesn't disrupt your whole life. I mean, that's always been the definition of my small step. Everybody's small step is a different size. Some people are willing to take on or able to take on more without stress. Some people are able to take on a lot less without stress. But the size of the small step is in relation, boom, almost there, guys, hang with me. It's in relation to what you're able and willing to take on at any given moment. And the step can get bigger as your life changes, and it can also go back down as your life changes, but it all depends on your life. And you need those moments to reground, to reconnect, and that's why I've said, I don't care how busy you are. Nobody is so busy that they can't take a moment to deep breath 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. Nobody. But that's the moment. That is the moment in which your world stops for a second. The deep breath is the moment that your world halts and gives you a second to, literally sometimes, just quickly touch the ground again before you jump back in. And those are the moments that add up over time that enable us to be more successful in virtually every pursuit that we have in the modern world. Anything that you pursue is just that moment. It's this is not a joke, you guys. It's the deep breath I take before I hit record on this podcast every week. Every week, I have a little sip of my thing. I take a deep breath, focus, get boom, and then record. This is this podcast is a performance. I'm as if I'm on stage with my band or in front of cameras on a movie set. It's getting in your place of focus, and now it's at work when I have to teach and not have to want to love teaching, but when I'm in a class, it's getting grounded so I'm in the right place. It's not inauthentic. It's not performance like I'm putting on a costume and being another character, but it's I've got to get to the place where I'm performing at my best. And I need the moments to get that done. And when I have been distracted or tired, like I'm trying to do my podcast a little bit earlier in the day because I used to do them late at night, and it was like a struggle for me to keep the me going. It was very hard to keep my focus, very hard to keep the words clear, my ideas clear, my thoughts clear. So I had to make adjustments about that. That's the message here. If you ever notice yourself saying, God, I just wish I could have a freaking moment to myself, or all these language, the use of language in time, the terms of time, it's because probably you're begging for some moments. There's your small steps. Boom. Take the 30 seconds. Take the 10 seconds. Take the 5 seconds. See what that does for you. You'll be surprised. Why? Because I'm freaking right. If I'm not right, say so right now. I'll give you 5 seconds to say you're not right. Boom. You know what I mean? Nobody spoke up. Nobody even spoke up. Probably because I'm a commanding personality. And I know you guys are scared in front of me. And that's fine. That's why I want to be. I want you guys to be afraid because it gives me more power as a guru. The more I can keep you in confusion and fear, you know how it is. That's my goal. Okay, should we get into this? You guys want to take a break? You're good? Okay, speed up the treadmill, everybody. The elliptical, slow that down. Stairmaster, just jump right off the stairs. Turn it into an escalator and let's get this done. Can you relate? Can you relate? I repeat it as if I was making any more clarity about that, and I wasn't. It was just, I just wanted to say it twice. The title of this episode, the subject of this episode, is about relationships in general. I'll cut to the chase. You know where I'm going with this, which is how you relate to yourself. But before I do, how important relationships are in our lives. And that's so trite and ridiculous. I almost turned off my own podcast and I'm recording it. But here's what I mean. Of course they're important, but it's how defining they are. And this is what I'm getting at. It is the me, not me of this. Who we are in relationship to the people we choose to be friends with, to the people we choose to be in relationships with, how much we can be defined by that's a very interesting phenomenon in the modern world. We can look at somebody and say, they're in this relationship with so-and-so, and that it, how much that says about each of us, good and bad, by the way, or whatever we don't want to judge about that, but just how that is. What is it about us personally that attracts us to the people in our lives, family, friends, loved ones, spouses, partners, whatever? What is it about us that is reflected in those people? What is it about us that drives us to be with those people for whatever reason? What is that? Is it worth looking at from our end? Yes. Is it worth assessing our relationships? Yes. It's who we choose to love is, to me, is as telling as how we choose to take care of ourselves. I think it says a lot about us in terms of our success in the modern world, our success as human beings. It's still the relationship. The truth is, it's still the relationship that is defining, and it's, again, to others and to ourselves. This is why from day one, basically, of this podcast, I always talk about the small steps as way bigger than the steps themselves, because essentially what you're learning via my approach, my small steps approach, is how to take care of yourself, how to relate to yourself, how to create a relationship that is based on caring. And by the way, mutual caring, because when you take better care of your body, it takes better care of you. Likewise, everything I say about that can be translated into your relationships with other people that are outside of you. How well you take care of yourself, how well you take care of them, vice versa. It's all related. But when you small step your life and you bring in little bits day to day, no matter how busy or crazy or how impossible you think it is to take care of yourself, and you do it in spite of that, you do something, some act of caring, you're learning how to relate to yourself. You're learning what it's like to be caring so that you can do that better in with the people that are outside of you. And that, by the way, that includes for kids, that's including children too. How well you take care of yourself. I've said it again a billion times. Your relationships are going to be, the success of your relationships is entirely dependent on how well you take care of yourself. It is. Because the better you take care of yourself, the stronger and more self-esteem, more self-confidence that you get, the more successful you are as a human, as a player in all the relationships that you're in, including, of course, your own, but with other people. how strong you are enough to communicate, how strong you are enough to express yourself. I mean, and it's, and essentially to bring it back to your to your own body, are you expressing yourself with your body? Remember I said I wanted to be aware enough to know when I needed tweaking, when I needed adjustment, when I needed to be able to make adjustments like with my sleep. That's communication. That's me having enough courage to communicate that to myself to say, I got to do this. I'm listening to you and I want to be strong enough to make action to say, you're telling me and I want to be able to hear and I want to be able to fix it. I want to be able to fix the situation. I want to make adjustment. I want to make adjustments to the situation. I mean, the everything we do is in relationship to our whole lives. I mean, the me, not me game. So this is like the next level of relationship. So part of it is the relationships that we're in and how we're defined by them and how we engage in them and how the choices we make within them and, of course, how we relate to ourselves, okay? The second thing that I wanted to say and the reason why I called it Can You Relate is that the steps that we take, we need to take in relationship to our whole lives. The actions that we do should be in relation to our whole lives. And this is a whole nother meaning of the word relationship. The relationship of us to the entirety of our lives, not just our body. And here's what I mean. My run this morning was an easy, this is what I touched upon earlier. My run this morning was an easy 4-miler. You know how I know? Because I intended it to be. Why? Because I woke up this morning feeling tired again. The rash on my chin is bothering me. I can feel tired. I had, again, the peanut butter thing, I can always tell. Okay, the peanut butter problem. Nobody in Edinburgh bring me peanut butter, just period. You probably don't even have it there. It probably is called Nutella. So I set out this morning to go on an easy run. I wanted to run. It relaxes me. I didn't want to push it, not for a minute. Go on to Strava and look at my pace. You'll see. It's slow for me. Okay? It's slow for me. I got no problem with that. Because I had to just set my action of running in relationship to my whole life. And this is the mistake I made when I ruptured my Achilles tendon is I made my running act only in relationship to the training plan that I had to follow and not in relationship to the entirety of my life. So what I was getting at is the things that you do, the food that you eat is in relationship. So again, like I feel amazing when I do fruit only. But I've said before, like, I'm not going to be a fruitarian full time. Why? Because in relationship to the entirety of my life, it doesn't really work for me. It doesn't work for me at all because there's other things that I want to do. And if I did that, it would be at a great cost to my stress level. It would be at great cost to my family life. It would be a great cost to my bank account because it would be an expensive thing to do. So I have to consider where it sits in relation to the entirety of my life. This goes for everything. But the me, not me game is, again, into the entirety of my life. And so things that I'm a health coach, I'm a nutritionist, okay? You guys know that about me. I'm a certified nutritionist and health coach. I drink single malt scotch. You know that. I joke about it. I haven't had it during the podcast in months for just no other reason than I haven't felt like it. But I made a point to be transparent about that because I'm not militant. I have behaved militantly, but the me of that is that I'm not militant and I can have a scotch now and then. But the confusion around the me, not me game, you might say, how can drinking scotch be you, Sid? You're a certified nutritionist. You know that it's horrible for you. And the answer to that is, I do know it's horrible for me. That's why I partake in it in relation to my whole life in a way that is very, very minimal, like not even once a week, because it's something I really enjoy. I can do it at that level that it's not debilitating for me. That's how what I've been able to figure out about it. Same thing with coffee and everything else. And by the way, nobody in the world does things 100% naturally that lives in the modern world. Nobody. Everybody does unnatural stuff. Everybody does unnatural stuff, period. So what is that in relationship to your life? What are you doing? How much are you doing it in relationship to your life? Are you doing it in a way that's debilitating? Are you doing it in a way that is causing you regret or physical ill health? I mean, this is the thing. So the me of the scotch is I'm the guy that has it once in a while in a way that's not debilitating. That's the me. That's how I have a scotch down then without conflict. not convincing myself. I just don't feel bad about it. If I have a scotch now and then and it doesn't debilitate me, fine. If for some reason I start having scotch a few times a week and felt hope that I was aware enough about my life that I felt debilitated by it, my runs were being suffering. I've said it before. I've taught a million times. I teach in class. I go, if my running or if my health was starting to decline, I would go right away to the most unnatural things I was doing and take a look at those first. Scotch would be on the list. Espresso would be on the list. Boom. Period. I mean, probably other stuff too. But I would certainly go to the most unnatural, the lightest box foods, the most unnatural. I would look at my movement and I would say, am I running too much or am I running too little? Am I pushing it? Because that's debilitating. Am I not running enough? Do I feel stagnant? Because that's debilitating. Or my relationship, am I engaging in my family life? Am I spending too much time with my family? Because that can happen, where all the other things are falling apart and I'm getting stressed from work, but I'm just denying it. Or am I pretty good balance there? Or am I spending not enough time with my family? What is the relationship of you to all the parts? You can't just look at, okay, me in relationship to my running. Well, I need to be at a certain pace on this day and I need to blah, blah, blah. Well, that might not work to you in relationship to the entirety of your life. That just might not work. So today I had to gauge what am I able and willing and successfully going to take on with regard to my run. And by the way, it also on the table, not running, has fully been on the table lately. Like there just been days where I'm just like, I may not run today. And I think I even took last Thursday off. Just out of the blue, I was like, I'm not running today. I just felt tired. And the whole thing I've talked about, my fatigue and my tiredness, this has not been 6 months coming on. This has been 3 weeks. I mean, this is how I'm actually really happy with my performance in this regard, which is it hasn't been months. I haven't let it go years where I'm like, finally, after 3 years, I realized I was tired and I've got cancer. So I've got to figure out day to day in the context of my whole life, how I'm relating to myself. Am I spending enough time with myself? Am I noticing enough? Am I listening to my body? How's my family life? How's my work life? It's always a kind of a quick little balance game there, the me, not me of that. Am I in balance? How am I acting in relationship to my own health and happiness? How am I acting in relationship to my own health and happiness? Now, of course, I've talked about this too, which is if we can act in relationship to our health and happiness, and we can also react. Same thing with work. We can act in our work professional lives. We can act in our family lives, but also we can react. And again, this comes back down to, fatigue is a huge player. I've said, when you walk in your door at the end of the day, if you're tired and exhausted and irritable, you're not going to be the father that I think you are deep down. Certainly not for me. So it becomes a thing about success, about how well I take care of myself, how I relate to myself, how I relate to my family. They're interrelated. There's the term. Our relationships with all these parts of our lives, it's how we succeed by looking at our lives in relationship to all the other people and all the other things that we do. It's looking at it big picture. That's the whole shebang. But I wanted to talk about real quickly how the relationship that we have to our food, okay? That's a whole nother option, a whole nother thing too, like how we relate to food, how we relate to exercise, right? This is really about us, our own values, how we define ourselves. But it's interesting to me that how we relate to food, for instance, how we relate to exercise, how we relate to all the aspects of what we think it means to live healthy in the modern world, that these relationships, our relationship with food, is fluid just in the same way that our interpersonal relationships are fluid. And by that, I mean, any relationship you have with a friend or a family member, it's not all smooth sailing. It's not always one way. It changes, it ebbs and it flows and it's adjusting and you have arguments and you have reconciliations and you have growth and you have change and you have evolution. I mean, like I think I said this in a recent podcast, it's like if I didn't argue with my wife, I would be very nervous about the ability that we have to communicate with each other. I've never seen a successful marriage where there's not an argument now and then. It doesn't exist. If you're not arguing, you're not communicating. You can't be that close to somebody all the time. And same thing goes with our relationship to ourselves. We're not always kicking ass. We're not always us. And there's tension there. And it's fine because the big picture is that's how we learn about things. That's how we get past things. That's how we evolve. That's how we improve with ourselves and with the people in our lives every time. But the relationship I was getting to, which is the relationship with ourselves, and this is what I mean by relationship with our food, for instance, is fluid. It changes over time. It's not like you dial in a diet and you just stay there all the time. Life, because it's in context and relationship to, in relation to your whole life, diet, you travel, that changes. Your food changes. You move, that changes. You're under more stress at work, so food changes for that time. The holidays come up, that changes. The fluidity of that is the brilliance of that relationship. When you try to deny fluidity, when you try to deny change, when you try to achieve some sort of militancy such that there's never variation, you suffer because all the other parts of your life are going to be falling by the wayside because you're going to be attending. You're going to be expending too much energy into one place. And then you try to make that it's an isolationist way of approaching your life. All of a sudden, this is just food. This is it. Food. Boom. I got lists and I got this and I got rules. Same thing, exercise. It could just be that. Or it could be one or two things maybe. But it's not an all things. And again, the part of any one thing, how big that is in your life, that's up to you. Nothing has to be equal. Some people work a little bit more and spend a little less time with their families. Whatever works for you, there's no thing. Or more time with their families because they have a job that they don't have to spend much time. I don't know. It doesn't have to be equal in time or equal in anything other than does it fit in the context of your life in a way that makes you happy and healthy, because the more happy and healthy you are, the better you are in relationship to all the people. Sort of the end game. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we look back on our relationships. We look back at our loved ones. I think we look back at the shared experiences where I talk about this in the book. We're tribal in nature. So the way that we relate to ourselves and the care we show ourselves, it's first and foremost. Why? Because it enhances and emboldens the relationships we have with others, which at the end of the day is going to be the thing that we remember and then that makes the life that we live more fulfilling and the experience of it more joyful. The shared experiences of life, having friends. I mean, this is the joy that we have. Sure, we love food, we love all these things, but I think the end game is the relationships. The end game for me anyway is the relationships. My kids, my wife, my friends, my extended family, all these things, like that matters more than anything. I wouldn't say like, screw my family if I can't have, you know, peanut butter and chocolate. I'd throw that out the window, never have it for the rest of my life ever again in exchange for being with my family. Like there's never a food in a million years that's more important than anything familial-wise. I'll never look back and go, boy, I'm really glad I had that meal in 1978. Those come and go. The relationships that we forge, our success in those relationships, our ability to forge successful relationships, our ability to find and be attracted to the people that exhibit the traits and values that we hold dear to ourselves and that we can get to better via small steps, that is what this is. That is the stuff of a success in life, the real success. Can we get to ourselves enough to where that stuff comes out so much that we're more ourselves more often so that the people we engage and attract in our lives are more reflections of those values and less of insecurity and jealousy and, you know, not having confidence, not having self-esteem? Can we get to ourselves via our relationship to ourselves, via my small steps approach of engaging in our lives this way, such that all our relationships are more reflective of who we are and therefore we're better in them and we're happier in them? And as I was saying, such in the example of our relationship with food is fluid like our interpersonal relationships. It changes. We also break up sometimes. We also end relationships. We also say, we're done here with friends and family even and marriages and things like that. And of course, I'm never advocating somebody walking away. I'm always advocating trying to fix the situation. But let's be honest, everybody. There's time where it's like cut bait. And that certainly goes with food. There's a certain, I've had clients with stage 4 cancer. They're ready. They're breaking up. They're breaking up with the stuff that they feel like played a part in getting them there. They're done. There's no, their step's humongo comparatively. And there's no stress for them there at all. Why? Because they're done. They've weighed that in relationship to their whole lives, and that's a decision they've made. So if you, for this week, notice the patterns, maybe, of your relationships. And I would say, by the way, yo-yo dieting, that's a cleansing over and over again. I cleanse 3 times a year, whatever that is. That's a relationship you have with food. Notice that. Same thing with quick feed. I go from DVD to DVD to DVD. Well, that's the relationship you have with exercise. But I think seeing your lives as a series of relationships, just this week for me, just look at it like, I want to look at everything that I do as a way of relating. How am I relating to myself? How am I relating to my job? How am I relating to my coworkers? How am I relating to my husband, my wife, my whatever? How am I relating to my food? How am I relating to my exercise? If you see your lives as a series of relationships, that allows for the acknowledgement of adjustments and modifications and growth and facilitating what? Evolution over time. If you look at it as a relationship, then you know, like any relationship, it's two things interacting, and it's a way you can kind of make adjustments and compromises and little thing tweaks here. Why? For the success of the relationship. That goes for your relationship with food and to your spouse. The success of the relationship is the end game. And like the practice of my small steps, it's not you get there and you're done. There's never been a marriage that goes, okay, I got here, we're good, we're 100% good, and then it just, for the rest of their lives, never, once they hit that place, it's constant modification, it's constant adjustment. Why? Because we're in a world that is not natural for us day to day, and we are put up to stresses that we're not used to, and when you're married to somebody, or you have a significant other, marriage or not, and you come across these stresses, they put strain on those relationships. They put strain on your relationship with yourself and with the people in your lives. And you need to work through those stresses to maintain success. But those stresses are going to cause stress. They're going to cause weakening at times. And you learn over time to get on top of those things, to push through those things, to adjust, to ensure greater success during those times. Boom. How are you relating to yourself, to everybody in your lives? Do you find it successful? Are you not willing to ask that question right now? Fine. But I'm planting the seed like I do every week. Because when you see your lives as series of relationships, you kind of look at yourself that way and say, okay, well, it starts with me. And how am I doing right now? How am I doing? Not to harken back to last week, but am I requiring so much maintenance from everybody else that I'm not relating on an equal level with the people in my lives? I'm demanding way more than I'm giving. How is that working out for me? How's that working out? Can I make some movement there? Can I small step in a way that makes me do something nice for somebody who's been really maintaining me for no reason, with nothing, no ask in return? Can I make little steps to make somebody else happy? Can I make little steps to make myself happy? Because I haven't been treating myself very well. My body's been telling me it's tired and fatigued, and I'm pushing it. I'm still pushing it. And it's starting to fatigue, and it's starting to weaken. How can I mend this? How can I mend this? All right, you guys. That's it for this week. You guys are doing great. Email me. Podcast at Sid Garza Hillman. I get in the emails, and it just puts a smile on my face. By the way, I didn't mention earlier, and I should if I'm responsible. If you feel like supporting this podcast, I really can appreciate and will appreciate a donation. You can go to SidGarzaHillman.com, push on the little donation button, throw me literally $1. Whatever you can do would be huge. If that makes sense to you, you can also, no pun intended, sense, boom, you can go to iTunes and leave me a review on the podcast. Huge. iTunes reviews are humongo. Thank you for doing that in advance. And for those of you who've done it. All right, you guys. Podcast at SidGarzaHillman.com. Come back next week for another episode of the Approaching the Natural podcast. I'm signing off. All right, you guys. Be well.
misspent, I'm tucked away. I'm holding a glimpse of falsehood and quiet. The streets will always be busy when I can pay. Out some speck of something that will hold me. But I spent last night looking through a glaze I'm covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full, and around the back of the way. For the most part, I can live between. What turns my head, I can stop the story. See what might lie ahead, my eye must simply be bad. So I'm trying to sketch what I'm seeing, but it turns out great. I spent last night looking through a glaze I covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full in a roundabout way. I spent last night looking through a glaze I'm covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full and around the bad way. Cause I spent last night looking through a glaze I'm covered on switching from me to you, from simple